Welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Episode number 83 is on its way of the Portal Gaming Podcast. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Also, it is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, located in Manchester, Connecticut. And as I always say, for more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. There you will be talking to me on Twitter. That is me, The Brant, who does that. Howdy, everybody. It is good to talk to you today on episode number 83. I am titling this one, He's Worth a Lot to Me. Now, I went back through the episodes, and I realized that a while back, I named an episode, I think it was like 43, it was, What If He Doesn't Survive? He's Worth a Lot to Me. And then four or five episodes ago, I said, What If He Doesn't Survive? So I figured, well, I better have an episode that's, He's Worth a Lot to Me. Hey, it's bound to happen that I double title some of these things. They're all Star Wars quotes. I think people picked up on that a long time ago. And whatnot, and I just don't always go through the back catalog and check it out. But wow, 83 episodes. I'm not going to do the like, oh, we're almost to 100 and I can't believe it's been 83 episodes. It feels like a lot of work for 83 episodes. So glad to be there and doing all that. But yeah, I'll double up those names and no biggie for that. But I'm going to talk about that because I want to talk about what I was saying in the last episode, a little bit longer discussion of like those games where I herald the game. I am the one who loves the game and puts the praise and laud, and I want to bring it out. But of course, as the teacher very often, or running games, it's hard to be like, hey, everybody, want to play my favorite game that some of you don't really like very much? And that's a tricky choice. Probably goes back even with the conversation I had about the facilitator. Like, one of my main goals is for everybody at the table to be happy and generally enjoying the game. Enjoying is a tough thing to do, right? To get people to enjoy. But look at that. Anyway, I should pause on this because I'm going to talk about it later. Hey, it's good to talk to everybody. Yeah, a couple announcements here. So Silk City Board Gaming Group is happening next Saturday. That's April 14th. That's at the Manchester Public Library from 12 to 4:30. So definitely go check that out. And also, I'm not going to say a lot in this episode because I said a lot on others, and I will definitely say it on the upcoming ones. But April 28th is Tabletop Day at the store, and we are open all 24 hours. We've got lots of fun things going on. I'm going to play Get the MacGuffin with everybody I can. I really just want to play a game with everybody that I can. But we'll do that. We'll have Code Games, which is our board game cover version of Code Names, as well as some people who are visiting the store, Rob Davio, Anthony and Francis from Ant Lab Games, and Eric Summer is showing up with his family. All those people, the time is not... I just said, hey, we're open 24 hours. They said we want to stop in. They're coming at some point. So it's not really a special event featuring. They're all just coming, and they want to check out the store and hang out. And I figured, hey, when we're open for 24 hours, that's a good opportunity for people. So the other thing that's happening that I've been doing is I'm kind of put in the role of, I don't know if I want to say in charge of the data collection and data entry, I guess, for the Dice Tower Awards. And that's been really interesting. Myself and BJ from Board Game Gumbo, he used to have a segment on the Dice Tower podcast back when they still had contributors, I think pre-episode 500. And so the two of us kind of took the reins of doing some of the data collection and all that kind of stuff last year, and then Tom kind of passed that off on us this year. So the two of us have been working together a little bit more, me recently, I suppose. That's just been interesting. So I'm not going to name any of the names of the games because that's kind of, you know, you could probably figure some of them out and whatnot, but I'll peel back the curtain on the process a little bit here. So we have a group that we all join, Dice Tower contributors, board game media people. Yeah, it's a wide variety. You know, there's hundreds of people in there. And we just put up the nominations. Okay, here's each category. Everybody nominate whatever they think. And everybody starts naming all of them. And you could thumb one up again, or you could name the game again. And then everything that gets nominated, we move over to a survey. And so I just typed up that survey. Whew, that was exhausting. And we take every single game that was nominated, and we list it in the survey, and then we send it out to contributors again, and everybody votes and says, these are the games that I think should be included in the nominations list. That will then get narrowed down to, don't hold me to it, I think it's 5, but I think Game of the Year is 10. We're not at that step yet. So you can vote for as many or as little games as you want in each category. And then from there, we will place our votes. You can do first, second, third. And if it's at the same as it's been in the past, I have not been in charge of this, so I want to be careful of saying the wrong thing. Don't hold me to it. But then when people vote, it'll be like your first place one gets 3 points, second's 2 points, third is 1 point, everything else gets 0. We tally up the votes and then see where it is. So if you really like a game, so like Gloomhaven was my number one game from last year, as it was many people's, I might just vote for Gloomhaven so nothing else gets points. Or if I feel like, hey, I like Gloomhaven, but I really like Gaia Project, which would probably be my vote, that's the boat I would be in. I'd probably vote for both of those. 3 for Gloomhaven, 2 for Gaia Project. Nothing else gets a point for Game of the Year, because I just want to see one of those two win, if it was up to me. So that's kind of the process there. And then there's a whole bunch of categories. Nothing's changed. It's best production, best strategy game, best co-op, best family game, best theming, best new publisher, best new designer, best two-player game, Game of the Year. I don't know. There's 14 categories, so I missed a few. But anyway, it's just been an interesting process, and then it's neat to go through and be like, oh, Keeper. I haven't played Keeper yet. I should play this so I can vote on it. Seventh Continent. Haven't played Seventh Continent, so I should vote on it as well. A couple people have offered to let me play Seventh Continent. I know Evan down in Florida listens, and he was saying that we could play at some point. So, yes, I would want to play, although I'll have to do my voting before then. As well as Larry up here has it. He said his is all sorted and organized, so if he hands it over to me, that'll be confusing. So I've got to get to him to play. So that'll probably be my bet. But, hey, if I like the game, then we'll go from there. In terms of that. And also kind of that funny spot, right? Those Seventh Continents. I guess Gloomhaven came to the store. I don't know. Those Kickstarter games are that funny spot where it's a store podcast, but it's not in the store yet. But again, one thing I love about the portal, they're like, well, you're a voice to represent the store, but you don't have to. Everything doesn't have to be in the best interest of the store. And to me, right there, that makes the portal a friendly local game store. You know, it in some sense reminds me of the scene. I don't know. I have to pour on the store that I do a podcast for. But anyway, you know, in Miracle in 34th Street, where Santa tells him, like, oh, go to this store. And then everybody's like, oh, he would tell him to go to another store? Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to pour onto a store that I do a podcast for. But I really do enjoy it and the things they allow me to do and whatnot. Even just traveling and going to different conventions to represent the store is awesome. So that has been good. Anyway, so that's a little peel behind the curtain on the Dice Tower Awards. I know like Board Game Geek Awards came out and Gloomhaven swept a whole bunch. Origin Awards will be coming up, so you can kind of usually get a sense of what's happening. But I'm intrigued to see where some of these games fall. So like Altiplano's one for me. I think it's going to come out early May. So that should give people 2 months to play it. So I mean, somebody like me, I'm going to make a concerted effort to play every game unless I just know I'm not going to enjoy it or I just can't get my hands on it. So I'll probably get to play Altiplano, but it'll be interesting. Will Altiplano coming out in May mean people don't vote for it because they couldn't play it? Or will it mean more people will vote for it because they have just played it? So they're like, wow, I really like Altiplano. Did I like Photosynthesis? I don't remember. I played Photosynthesis, right, back at Origins and Dice Tower Con, and then it came out in the fall or whatever. And so it might be that Altiplano's fresher on people's brains. So it is what it is. I don't think you can take awards too seriously all the time. I mean, I think it's good to have a process and let it be known what you're trying to do and accolades. But again, it's just a way to point people to something. Like, hey, this was a game that a lot of people really liked who make a hobby or a living out of reviewing games. So I think that's an important piece to have there. I was talking with somebody about even just movie awards. So, you know, I don't go to the movies much anymore and don't get out to see a lot. So when I do, I definitely go see the summer blockbusters. I see the Star Warses, the superhero movies, you know, the Pixar movies with my daughter. Those are the movies that I go see, but those aren't the ones that are up for awards. Why? Well, because the Academy Awards is trying to push a certain criteria of movie, right? They're not going for the over-the-top explosion, made the most money. They're trying to do the outside-the-box thinking, has a purpose, really artistic, and that's great. I think that's what they should do, but you got to know that going into the Academy Awards. They're not just saying, hey, this one had the highest gross box office, or this movie was a sequel to a great movie, or this one's in this line, right? So it's a little different. So, I mean, that same kind of thing can happen. I definitely think about that with, like, Best Co-op this year in terms of, like, Spirit Island to me is just a really, really solid co-op, but I don't know how many people will play it and appreciate the heaviness of that game. And then, like, will Pandemic Legacy Season 2 just win because it's backing up a great game? And it's awesome, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes. So, sorry, I have a cold, so bear with me a little bit here. And I'm getting ready for a game day. I'm on vacation. It's bittersweet because, like, nobody else in the state has this week off from schools, and my school does, and everybody else is the following week. So I feel like, yeah, I have a week where I got my to-do list. I'm going to get all these things done. But it's a little bit sad to not be off the same time with my daughter and other people, and the weather's kind of, it's not crummy this week, but it's not warm. So it'd be nice to be a little bit later and have a little bit less on the other side, so. So it goes. But I'm getting ready for a game day. People are coming over. We're going to play a whole bunch of stuff. So let me walk you through a couple games that I played recently. So I got to play Pandemic Iberia. I think I've been talking about this for a lot. I think I've talked about it on the podcast, wanting to play this one, and I finally did. So Iberian Peninsula is Spain and Portugal. And this one takes place like 1700s? No, it's got to be 1800s. You're building trains. So 1800s. And so the changes are you can build train routes, railroad tracks, and then you can travel in one action along all of the railroad tracks. So that's really interesting. You can also move along the coast, and that region is quite coastal. And so you can discard a card of a color to move anywhere along the coast. So it helps you move around. You're not trying to cure the diseases. You're just trying to come up with things to help people. So you're kind of researching the diseases. So it's still that same thing. Get 5 cards, discard them. The other part that's different is basically every city is on the border of a zone, and you can put water in the zones. You can put water in the zones, and then if any of those cards get drawn, the water gets used because it's like you're purifying the water so people can use that to not let the diseases keep carrying on. So a little hard for me to remember because it was like 2.5 weeks ago now, but it was really solid. I'm really impressed with all these pandemic games. I played Rising Tide with Eric Summer at Conclave, and then I just played this one, and they're all enjoyable. They all present a different puzzle, even though they just very, very strongly share the same bones. They're all fun. It's really interesting how Pandemic, for a while to me, was just kind of one of those basic gateway games that I wasn't interested in anymore, and ever since I did that, really when we started the podcast is when we did that tournament, and I've loved Pandemic ever since then, so that was interesting. I played Dice Throne. This was Season 1, because Season 2 I know is on Kickstarter. So Dice Throne is like Battle Yahtzee, I guess, which of course is King of Tokyo, but this one's even more so. So everybody has a unique set of dice. You're trying to roll for certain things, so I was the Pyromancer or the Fire Mage or something, and so I'm trying to roll blasts and explosions and burns. And I can do all these effects to people. I was very much a glass cannon. So it was like, if you attack me, you can get set on fire and I can burn you. So you take damage every turn, but I didn't have a lot of defense. It was just people didn't want to attack me because I would take damage and possibly burn. Really big, strong, explosive spells. And it was neat. We played with 4 and you lower your health count. You randomize who you attack. I just didn't feel right. It's really a 2-player game. We were playing with 4, but it really feels like it's meant to be a 2-player game. Sorry, the dice style is Yahtzee, so you roll, re-roll, and re-roll again, and then you keep what you have. You have some cards that you can draw, and you can play to manipulate. You can spend things for them. And everybody, each character has unique resources. So I gained combustion or fire mastery or something like that. And so it's a matter of, you know, balancing that out in those tokens. So it was a neat game, but I'd like to play it with 2 just to see where it's really at its best. At 4, it just felt really random, especially like, I want to finish that person off. Oh, I rolled a 6. I hit you, who I'm not really trying to get rid of right now. Oh, well. So that wasn't the best on that front. Then we played Red Dragon Inn Battle for Greyport. So this is Red Dragon Inn, but it's a co-op deck builder. And it's pretty solid. So what happens here is you've got a bunch of various missions that you're on, and you're trying to complete little scenes. So you deal out all the baddies, and then you have to get rid of all the baddies. That's basically what happens. So it's very similar in ways to Dragonfire and Shadowrun Crossfire. Dealing everything out and then trying to get the right damage. It's interesting, though, because you can play cards on other people on their turns, which I guess, again, Shadowrun and Dragonfire have that. And enemies have all sorts of little effects, and you've got, like, a super powerful hero that you can play each turn. Again, going 2.5 weeks back, all the details of all the mechanisms are not quite there. But I really enjoyed it. I know others at the table said, oh, we might play Shadowrun or Dragonfire instead, but I definitely thought there was something to this game, and I'd be interested to see how it plays with two. But at the end of the day, it wasn't quite the draw that I was looking for that, so there was that. Just some recent plays. I played Race for the Galaxy again. Hadn't played that in a while. That was really fun. Then Kathy and I played Madeira. Did I talk about these already? I may have talked about these on the last one, so bear with me. But we played Madeira, and that was really exciting. I played Near and Far with Brian, so it'll be good to hear his thoughts on that. I really, really liked that game from last year. Got a play of Gaia Project in with two new players. Played The Quest for El Dorado, which I had played at Dice Tower Con and got a chance to play again. I actually want Zephyr to do a little piece on that, so I'll wait on that one, but it was fun. Played Downforce. Played Advanced Guildhall Fantasy with Kathy today, and that was fun. As Guildhall is very take that, but it's fun take that. And then the last game I'll talk about here is Cytosis. Oh, I also played another game of Castell, because that's my favorite game from this year so far. So Cytosis is a cell biology board game. So what's really cool about Cytosis is it is a full-on worker placement game. So you are placing your little flasks in areas to be able to do different things, and you're trying to complete cards. So you've got to get the right number of proteins or mRNAs or lipids or carbohydrates in your little vesicles and then move them down and cash in for points. It's got a little bit of an engine build that you can build receptors. So when people build certain things, you get points. Or you can just straight out build like the hormone or whatever it is there. At the end of the day, I don't know that it brings too much new to the table, but the theme is really cool. Like, they definitely managed to make an educational game that's a game first. And I think this is what's so important, is that, you know, it's tougher as a teacher to say what I'm going to use in the classroom, but make a game that I could point people to that they could learn this. So this would be fun to be like, hey, don't study for that unit. Do this and you'll learn all the pieces, or read through this. It's just a more interesting way. There's a lot of games I play where I'm like, I'm interested in that history element or that element. And they did a good job here. So it's kind of one of those games that I'm glad exists. I don't know that I'm dying to play it all the time, but it'd be perfect for somebody who's studying this stuff or trying to get to know more about that, or just considering that as a major. Like, just play this game and see if this is an interesting topic to you, you know? Like, I'm intrigued how many people play like fantasy baseball or fantasy football, but they're not interested in that sport. So I think it draws you in kind of in that way. So, yeah, that was kind of the takeaway. It was interesting and it was good, but I just would imagine thematically and even mechanically a little bit, people would be drawn to Lords of Waterdeep over this. But I'm glad this game exists, and I hope this company Genius Games builds off of this. I know they made like Ion, and they made like a Compound game and a whole bunch. So, those should be really interesting to see where all that goes. Yeah, so that's my recent plays that I've had. So those have been pretty interesting. I think now I will switch over to talking about what I was saying before. So yeah, there's these games that we herald that, like, I am the one who loves this the most. And so it feels like I'm pushing this game on people sometimes. And I'm always interested with those games. So there's certain games where it's like, hey, everybody likes this game. It's not a big deal. But then there's other games where, you know I really like this, but other people aren't in the boat. The same boat. So I'm wondering with Castell, this is my newest one, where it's my favorite game, and I introduce it to people. Most people say, I want to try that again. I want to play that again. They haven't really downed it a whole bunch, but they're there. I don't think Gaia Project and Gloomhaven are really there. Gloomhaven's an easy one because I'm just not trying to play this with other people. I'm just playing this with Kathy. It would just be a mess to try to play with other people. So I'm not so worried about those being there. Gaia Project Terra Mystica. There's so many people that like this game that it's not, that crazy. Madeira is definitely one that comes to my mind. I'm just scrolling back through games I played recently. Madeira is almost quintessential for this to me because I just adore Madeira. I want to play it all the time. I'm actually waiting. Heavy Cardboard is supposed to do a look back because they gave this a Golden Elephant Award and they said, do we still like it? Would we still have given it a Golden Elephant? And I'm dying to see what their opinion is on it because I'm not sure how much of a heavy gamer I am and how much I align with Amanda and Edward and other people on that podcast, Tony and all the other ones there. And I'm interested to see how their tastes evolve. And some of the things I've played that they've played. And it's just interesting to see. We don't have to have the same taste. I don't care. But it's just interesting to see what that's like. So trying to think of some other games like that. I'm just looking back through. I don't know if there's something that comes to your mind that you're thinking of. Actually, Codex is one. Codex Card Time Strategy. This one's interesting because what I find is a lot of people that I've played with are not, they're not privy to this style game to begin with. So, and then being two-player, it's hard to just kind of push on people. But I have somebody that will play that one kind of with me. So, that one is interesting. Orleans would probably be that game. Is that game for my wife? I think so. I think Kathy would say, like, this is the game she would play anytime. I really like Orleans. I don't like the setup, and I don't mind setting up games. but that one's, that one's a little bit different. What are some others as I look back here? I wonder if Get the MacGuffin will become one of these, but these aren't perfect examples, so I'm really trying to scroll back. I probably should have had this prepared and ready to go prior to this. In terms of all that, Kalis kind of falls in this category. I really, really like Kalis, and other people enjoy Kalis. Again, none of these are games that like people hate, and I like them. Kind of interesting on that front. I'm going to pause for a second and come back after I've looked through a few. All right, a few more that I found here. Hunt for the Ring might be this way. Cry Havoc. Hero Realms. Alien Artifacts. These fall into the category with people I played them and have not enjoyed them nearly as much as I have. And it's all sorts of different reasons. I definitely know that there are these games, you know, that reverse on me and whatnot. I mean, Rising Sun is just getting high, high praise, and I did not really find it that enjoyable. Vast, The Crystal Caverns is a really hard teach. Although most people enjoy that one if they play it. I'm interested to see when Colon Colony gets released, because I really, really like Colon Colony, and I'm interested to see what the exception is. Oh, I found a perfect game. Ghost Stories. People play Ghost Stories. I tell them how hard it is. I watch them suffer miserably through the game, and I laugh and laugh and laugh, and I thoroughly enjoy losing at Ghost Stories over and over again. But people are not as into this as I am, and that is definitely one of those games I will play that and lose that game anytime. And a lot of people are not in that boat, so that one's kind of interesting there. So yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like I said, with teaching people. You know, I want people to be happy and enjoying the game. I can't really make somebody enjoy a game, but I want to make sure the rules are in place. What's happening, is well known and whatnot. But I can't always do those things. So it's just interesting. You know, what are some of those games that you think of where, like, man, you love this game. You'll play this game anytime, but it's hard to get other people to play it. Or they're like, well, it's your birthday, or well, it's a special event, or you just really like it, so we'll play it with you. And whatnot. But let me know some of those games and some of that that's interesting to you. I think other than that, since I'm not feeling so well, I might make this a shorter episode and rest up a little bit before people come over and whatnot. So, wow, this might be my shortest episode ever. It was like 20 minutes. I talked pretty fast, even though I'm not feeling super good. But yeah, definitely make sure to respond to me there on Twitter. You can send me an email, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about Tabletop Day, April 28th. I think that's it. Until next time, I am your host, The Brant, and I hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 16 Hilliard Street, Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on April 8th, 2018. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And hey, thanks for listening.